Hallelujah. Yes, we overcame. We are overcomers. Good morning. Welcome to your morning energizer. Welcome to your morning faith boost. Good song, I Overcame by Ada Ehi. Great, great, great music. And yeah, it just sets the tone for what we're dealing with this week. Faith in the finished work. And I trust that as you've been following what we've been dealing with, it's been helpful, super helpful. Super clear. All right. So we ended yesterday with Romans chapter 5, right? The first and the second verses. How that we now have peace with God and we have access into the grace that we stand in. And why are we learning this? Because, you know, you could spend so much time reading the Bible and then you read a whole lot of it, but you just didn't intentionally or consciously attach your faith or activate any one of them by faith. It just becomes something you know. But it's beyond that. Each of these realities, that's what they are. They are realities, and we must endeavor to get as much revelation from them as possible. We must endeavor to get as much revelation from them as possible. So you have peace with God. You have peace with God. Now, you find certain believers, like I was saying yesterday, you know, saying things I just don't understand. I think God is not happy with me. I just feel. And all they can describe is a feeling, a thought, I don't know. I just feel something's wrong. Now, yeah, there might be times that you perceive in your spirit, maybe you took a wrong step somewhere, and then you know you need to pray about it and get right what it could be. But that's different from when you now start taking it as far as, I think God is not happy with me. I think God is dissatisfied with me, you know. And then your feelings could come in so much and condemnation just jumps right in. But you fight such with scripture. You fight such with scripture. Ephesians 1 and 6 says you've been accepted in the beloved. All right, Isaiah 54. You know, God was saying that I'll never be angry with you. Hebrews 13, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So you pick these scriptures and then you present those verses to your feelings. Feelings, this is what the word of God says, right? Rather than voice out your feeling and have that, well, that's how I feel. That's how I feel. No, we don't relate with God by feelings. Neither does God relate with us through feelings. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And I said the word sight there means, you know, your perceptions, your sensory perceptions. You know, so not by your feelings, not by your hearings. No, we walk by faith. So you and I have got to intentionally come to God's word and say, this is the word of God. This is what the word says. You know, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. So this is who I am. This is who I am. So you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, but you don't feel like it. Well, true. Nobody does all the time. All right? And not because anything went wrong. You know, just sometimes that is God sure we're righteous. You know? But you go to God's word and say, this is what the word said. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. But the truth of the matter also is, you know, while I say nobody does all the time, I need to put that in perspective. There's a way these things get so solidified in you, you don't think differently. You just don't think, you can't think differently. You can't, you know. The same way some get born again and have that, am I born again? Am I sure I'm still born again? Some people just never have had that thought before. Just never crossed their mind. Never, not even once, you know. So, 1 John and chapter 3, from the first verse of 1 John 3, it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows not, because the world knew it not. It's a verse that a whole lot of us could quote. Of course, some might not be too familiar with it yet, but a whole lot of us can quote it. So, I'm going to read again. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. All right, therefore the world knows us not, because he knew him not. I mean, right now it's easy for everybody to go Oh, God is my Abba. I mean, God is Abba, Abba, Abba. And I mean, it's great because he is, right? Some time back, I guess, because of, a great preacher's influence, you hear a lot of daddy, daddy said, daddy. So sometimes one needs to be sure that are these things being said by understanding, by revelation, or they are being said by influence, all right? And yeah, influence sometimes is a good start, just isn't good if it stops there. Because there are insights into the Word of God that we all must have, all right? Insights that we must gain. So John is saying here, being a child of God as everyday-ish as it is one of the biggest revelations in the entire scripture. Why? Because the nation of Israel, they were not children to God. A few times you find those kinds of statements made, but they were not the regular. They were basically like servants of God, not children of God. So that's why an Abraham was elevated as a friend. A friend has a higher level to a servant. So we come over into the New Testament, then we call ourselves sons of God. But then unconsciously, we admire the relationship that the Old Testament saints had with God, not knowing that it's actually a downgrade to what we have. And I understand, you read through the Old Testament and there are lots of encounters and lots of things happening to these people. And, I might get ahead of myself a little bit. But do you notice that God never talked to these people every day? Not even every week? Not every month, and in many cases, not every year. Very many cases, not every year. All right? So we don't have any statement, any record of in Scripture of God talking to Jacob after the encounter in Bethel. So all through his time in Laban's house, we don't have any record. And then he was in Laban's house for about 20 years. So it was about the time he was to leave Laban's house. He said, God ministered to him. It was time to go back to the place of promise and all of that. And then he said it was an angel of God. That was like towards the end of 20 years. We don't see them hear from God regularly. We don't see them hear from God day by day, week by week. So there's something we have they never had. But because, once again, because we read the encounters, so you come over into Genesis, all right? So Genesis 15, God tells Moses, all right, make a covenant, cut certain animals, for me and all of that. And the next time God was going to talk to Abraham was Genesis 17. Then you feel, well, just chapter 15, 16, and 17. No, those were years apart, like loads of years apart. All right, because in chapter 15, there was no Ishmael. By chapter 16, all right, then there was Ishmael. And then by chapter 17, God tells Abraham to circumcise himself. And Ishmael then was 13 years old. So God talked to Abraham before Ishmael was born. And then the next one was Ishmael was 13. So that's like 15 years going to 20 years in between Abraham didn't hear from God. We don't have a record of it. So you find that God wasn't talking to these people every day. But we look at them, we look at their time, and that's why, we've been reading, all right, from 1 Peter about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that will follow. Peter says that the prophets prophesied of things that were not of their own time. They spoke of our time. In Hebrews 11, we're told that these people could not be made perfect without us, that they all died embracing the promise, yes, but they just never physically obtained it. But unconsciously, guys, we downgrade. We just say, wow, I wish I could be a friend of God like Abraham. No, Abraham is wishing he could carry God in him like we do now. So it's a fight. It's a renewal. It's that's where the work is. So Abraham was not a child of God. They were servants. Moses wasn't a child of God. Why? Because he was just never born again. John chapter 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. None of these men were born again. None. We've got to have faith in the finished work. Listen, if their time is better than our time, then there was no need Jesus coming. There was no need he had to come. There was no need for anything. So if he did come, if he did die, if he did resurrect, if he did ascend and is seated, the people he did that for need to have faith in the finished work. Okay, so going back here, we see, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. See, the world doesn't know us, you know, because he never knew him. He says, what manner of love? And the word behold is an exclamation like, oh my goodness. Oh, like, see, wow. But what's so wowy about it? Because nobody could be called the Son of God as far as these guys are concerned, except Jesus Christ. How did I know that? John here wrote John chapter 1. Wrote the whole Gospel of John. So in John chapter 1, verse 14, it said, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So as far as John was concerned, one person could be called the Son, and that was Jesus. So he now sees God elevate us into the status of sonship. He's like, wow. So some might feel, well, I get it, but maybe when we finally get to heaven, that's when we'll really finally get the status. No. Verse 2 now. Maybe John thought someone was going to think like that. Verse 2, he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not tomorrow. Now. Oh, glory to God. Now are we the sons of God. He says, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we will be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Yes, when we see him, we'll see what we all look like, but that's when we'll become sons of God. We are sons of God today. That's who you are. That's who I am. Bona fide children of the Father. So we have to come into God's word and start thinking, how does he see me? He sees me as his child. How should I see him? I see him as his father. I see him as my father. That's why he put the Spirit in us crying out, Abba, Father. So the Spirit in us cannot be crying out, Abba, Father, and then we're desiring unconsciously the lifestyle of slaves with God. Oh, and God appeared unto Abraham. and God, revealed himself. And then, and God visited. And then those are the kinds of languages we use in the New Testament. Oh, God appeared to me. Oh, God, reveal yourself. Oh, God, visit me. No, that was what he did to them. That's not what he's doing to us. Oh, yes, do we gain revelation of who he is? Yes. But he's made known a lot. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, all right, chapter 2, verse 9 says, I, as it is written, I have not seen, nor hear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. Now we use that, to talk about, God's plans. We could pray out the plans of God for 2020, 2021, just pray out those things that eyes have not seen. Yes, but the core context is Christ. Right, the second verse already of that 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, I desire to know nothing amongst you when I was with you except Christ and him crucified. All right, my preaching and teaching was not with eloquency of man's wisdom, but with a demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith will not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And then he begins to talk about the wisdom of God that has been preserved, the wisdom of God that has been kept. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the context is Christ. The context is a finished work of Christ. So that's why when he said, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered into heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. He now said in verse 10, but God has revealed, not will reveal. God has revealed. So Paul was basically talking about the revelation God has given to us about who we are in Christ. God has revealed these things to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. What man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so, the things of God knows nobody but the Spirit of God. Verse 12 now says, all right, we have received, right now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit that is of God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us of God. That means that we may know the things we have in Christ. So the core context is Christ, all right? The core context there is Christ. So that means that the things that have been made available to us are not just, they are things revealed. They are already in God's word. So you have to come to the word to get what these things are. So now are we the sons of God? Now, not tomorrow, not next week, right now. Galatians chapter 4 from the first verse. Paul says, now I say, all right? Now, but you need to get that the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses, was done so, you know, for us by translators. So let's go to the last verse of chapter 3, and then we'll go to the first verse of chapter 4. Last verse, chapter 3 says, and if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So take note of the use of the word heir here. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So chapter 4, verse 1. It now says, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child. Please note the use of the word heir. In chapter 4, verse 1, is the same word heir in chapter 3, verse 29. All right? So it's just a continuum. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, is not different from a servant, though he's Lord of all. Verse 2, but he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So what are these elements? You go again to chapter 3, the elements were the law. All right? So we're under bondage, all right? We're in bondage under the elements. Verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. All right, the woman was under the law. He came, of course, in the dispensation under the law. Not he himself was under the law. All right, verse 5 now, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive. Please notice the adoption of sons. The Jews were not sons. They were under the law. So when Jesus came, he redeemed them from under the law so that they may receive the adoption of sons. Please understand this, because the law wasn't given to all the nations of the world. The law was given to Israel. So the Israelites had the law, and then Jesus had to come as one of them under the law to deliver them from the law and give unto them sonship. All right, look at verse 6 now. Verse 5 again. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. See the context. They are delivered, all right, from under the law, and then they receive adoption of sons. Now you are sons, all right, so God put his Spirit in you, okay, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Verse 7, wherefore you are no more servants. They were servants. All right, you're no more a servant but a son. And if a son, then a heir of God through Christ Jesus. Do you understand that? So you have to understand the writings of Paul. You know, so even while he writes to Gentiles, there's a context there where you pick, okay, this is particularly, you know, to who? So you understand now, of course, the Galatians were Gentiles. So Paul is now letting everyone understand, listen, there are two categories of people. We have the Jews, then we have the Gentiles. All right? They had different levels of relationship with God. None was a son of God. All right? Because if they were sons, then Jesus would not have come. The Bible says he is our peace. He broke down the middle wall of partition. He became the common denominator. Whether you were a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, you need Jesus Christ. So it was a common denominator. It was through him you can now become a son. So Hebrews chapter 2 says he came to bring sons to glory. Nobody could become a son until Jesus shed his blood. So we find the Jews coming to God. We find the Gentiles coming to God through Christ. So now we all, whether Jew, whether Gentile, if you remember the same Galatians chapter 3, all right, verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, all right, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What was the promise of the Spirit? I taught on those, you know, series we did sometime back, the gift of the Spirit of God. I even taught in the seed of Abraham, the, you know, authentic seed of Abraham. We had that series. You could scroll down, you find it will bless you. I said the promise made to Abraham was a gift of the Holy Ghost. So you and I now have this gift of the Holy Ghost. We now have the Spirit of God in our hearts, or are responding to God as our Father. Responding to God as our Father. Responding to God as our Father. So try to train yourself more, all right, to call him Father, more than the names you might find in the Old Testament. They were revelations of God, and they have their importance. Someday I might be able to do a teaching, all right, so one balances them. You don't have to throw them away, all right, but he's now your Father. But if you know him as Father, but you don't know his qualities as revealed there, you might not understand how powerful your dad is. So yes, we see all those, but then we come and say, oh, that great man over there is my daddy. That great man over there is my Father. So you tell yourself from time to time, I'm God's child. I'm God's child. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for sonship. It's just gentle meditations. It will get clearer, right? And I trust God to be able to teach this better, you know, as we progress. So I need you to notice the seventh verse again. Wherefore you are no more a servant, but a son. Please notice. And if a son, then a heir of God through Christ. Something just flipped here. Chapter 3, 29 says, if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So that means you are called or born to inherit something. What you're inheriting is the promise made by God to Abraham. And that promise was the receiving of the Holy Ghost. It was righteousness. It was a new birth. Because the same Galatians 3 had already said, you know, that God, all right, in verse 8, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. So Abraham was told that salvation was coming to all of mankind. So verse 7 now says that you are a heir of God. So you are not just an inheritor of the promise God made to Abraham. You are an inheritor of God's glory itself. You are God's heir, God's child. And this verse is similar now to what we find in Romans chapter 8, all right, from 15. All right, please notice that what we find here in Galatians chapter 4, all right, 6 and 7. Let me read Galatians 4, 6 and 7. Again, it says, and because you are sons, all right, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Please note the Abba, Father part. Note the Spirit in our hearts, all right? Verse 7, wherefore you are no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then a heir of God through Christ. So please note the Abba, Father, note the Spirit in our hearts. Note that you are now heir, all right, God's heir. All right, so we'll now come to Romans chapter 5 and the 15th verse of Romans. I will pick it from the 14th verse. All right, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Galatians 4, talking about sonship. Please notice and remember that. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Behold, the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. So one of the finished work of Jesus is now sonship. You are now a son. So, whoa, I'm a son of God. What does that do for me? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons. Sons are led by the Spirit of God. Sons have a right to be led. All right. Verse 15 now says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Sounds familiar, right? To Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. All right? Sounds very familiar. Spirit of adoption, Abba, Father. 16 says, the Spirit itself bears witness, himself actually. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. 17 says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Sounds familiar again. Galatians chapter 4 verse 7. So you find what's in Galatians chapter 4, 6 and 7 is what we'll find here in Romans chapter 15. I mean, Romans chapter 8 rather, from 15 to 17. There's a spirit now in us. So it wasn't just a revelation to the Roman church. It wasn't just a revelation to the Galatian church. There's a spirit now in us. And that spirit, all right, is the spirit of sonship. And that spirit in us reaches out to God, not as a master. That spirit in us reaches out to him as a father. Father, crying out. Crying out. So that relationship, that depth of intimacy, that family bond beyond blood, You know, we say blood is thicker than water, so allow us, you know, say spirit is thicker, right? Because that's the depth of it. And then it ends by letting us know you are now a heir. So Romans, you know, 8:17 here, all right, you know, says, if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, then also we'll be glorified with him. So someone says, wow, so I cannot be a heir until I suffer. I need to go and suffer. How do I suffer? Hey, I need to go and suffer. All right? But there are two ways to look at this. Number one, when he suffered, you were with in him suffering. Don't forget the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will follow. When he was crucified, I have been crucified together with Christ. When he died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. When he resurrected, we resurrected with him. So when he was suffering, we're there in him with him. So we have suffered with him. That's why when he ascended, we ascended. And when he sat in his glory, we sat. So, you know, because you now see that and says, oh, if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. No, we have suffered with him, and then we'll be glorified with him. Of course, Paul suddenly just moves and says, for I reckon that the sufferings of his present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. So that's okay, but that means there's still another suffering. Yes, they had things like persecution at a high level going on there, so there were still certain sufferings, and even till now, you get persecuted for your faith. All right, but you don't go looking for suffering. Oh, I've not suffered. Do I need to come and suffer? I need to suffer so that I can be glorified in him. No, we have suffered in him. And the day he was glorified, we're glorified together with him and in him. But in the line of duty, when sufferings come, you embrace them. Because blessed is he that still goes through the persecution. So there's a reward when you face it and face it gallantly. Do you understand the difference now? So you have to pick what he's saying and don't think, oh, let's go and look for suffering. Because the same Paul by revelation let us know that we're together with him in his suffering. So what are we seeing today and where do we put our faith? I am a son. I have the spirit within me. I am God's heir. I am his son. Don't toy with it. You know, we the children of God. No. John the Baptist couldn't call himself a child of God. Moses couldn't. It's a level higher. Now they can, all right? Because we're all now together in Zion, all right? In Hebrews chapter 12. So now they can. Now they can. But then they couldn't. So I am God's heir. So I have rights and privileges. Don't see yourself as a beggarly heir. Things are bad. I need to suffer. No, I am a heir of God. Every promise of God, everything that is of God is yours. Everything that is of God is yours. Everything that is of God is yours. I want you to chew on this. I am God's heir. I have a spirit in me. You're far better than Abraham had a relationship with God. You have a deeper relationship with God than Moses did. Oh, yes, we didn't see the cloud. We were not caught up the mountain. But all of that glory cannot amount to the riches of a new creation in Christ Jesus. So what you and I need is face what our dispensation looks like. Meditate on it till the glory of it bursts through us. That's all we need to do. Not make an ungodly comparison. If Bible says that we have a better covenant established upon better promises, then don't go to the lesser covenant and be admiring it and start saying, I don't even know this new covenant. I don't understand. There's nothing inside it. That's you flaunting ignorance. All because you don't understand it. You stay with the word and say, God said this covenant is better. This covenant is better. Rather than talk about the covenant not being better, I'll sit here, keep reading, and keep asking the Holy Ghost to show me, because we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us. I believe that blessed you. All right, take authority, stand your ground, walk by faith, enjoy every single thing that belongs to you, and I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great, great day.